Right, we're going to actually have a little bit of fellowship, hopefully no more than 25 minutes on an outline that the brothers are passing out right now. All right, the title of this fellowship is The Need to Be Constituted with the Truth. All right, The Need to Be Constituted with the Truth. So hopefully you will get your outlines shortly as they pass them out. But we won't, for this portion of the time, we will not cover something from your notebook. We'll just focus on this sheet, right? It's one side. So hopefully you can follow along. And if you haven't, I think they're still in process. If you're in a section and you haven't been able to get one, you can raise your hand so the brothers can get you one. And if you have extras, maybe you can pass them out to the sides, so that we can recycle them to the places that need them. Okay, so the need to be constituted with the truth. Now, Roman numeral 1 says that today the whole earth needs the truth of the Lord that is in His Word. Right? The whole earth needs the truth of the Lord that is in His Word. Well, what is the truth? The truth is just the Lord Himself. The truth is the Lord Himself. And where is this truth? This truth is in His Word. It's in His Word. What does this world need? The whole earth needs the truth of the Lord that is in His Word. All right, and the first verse, those of you who have, let's read it together. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Ready, go. Go, therefore, okay, so in this verse, we are told by the Lord Jesus to do something to all the nations. What is it? Number one, disciple, right? Number two, what? Baptize. And number three, teach, all right? Number three is what?
Teach,
that's right. So this means, what do we teach them? We should teach them the truths in the Word, all right? The truths of the Lord in His Word. Now, today, on this earth, actually, there are many crises, right? There's political crises. There are military crises. There are crises of hunger, right? And starvation. You know, you know how many people are basically starving? Well, there's about 7.5 billion people, roughly, on this planet right now. And of those, almost 800 million people do not have enough to eat physically, all right? That is a lot. That's basically 1 in 10, right? 1 in 10 people on this planet do not have enough to eat just to survive. That is a major crisis, right? That is a major crisis. And there is a statistic, it's a little bit controversial, but you may have heard it, that there is a child who dies every 10 seconds due to hunger. All right? So since we started this meeting, that would be a lot of kids, right, who have died just due to hunger. Now, if you look at the earth today, it's hard to say how many people are genuine believers in the Lord, right? It's hard to say. But you can make the case probably on the upper end. Someone may have better numbers than I do. But on the upper end of an estimation for the number of genuine believers on this earth, it's actually about the same number of people that go hungry. That are hungry, right? It's about 800 million. And that's probably overestimating. At least there are hundreds of millions of people who have touched the truth in some way, right? But even of those who have touched the Lord in one way or another, how many of them are really nourished with His Word and enjoying Him and being fed by Him, you know, day to day? Probably a very small percentage, even of that 800 million. So we have this huge crisis, this huge physical food crisis, where people are dying, people are starving. There's 800 million who are dying and starving. But actually, there's a much bigger problem, much bigger, and much more serious. And that is, there are probably 7 billion people who don't know the truth, who are not enjoying the truth, who are not being fed by the truth, who don't know what the meaning of their life is. Many of them have the Bible sitting on their shelf, but it's right there. But they still don't, know how to get to it. They don't know how to get to it. And so, this is the crisis that's before us. And this is why there is such a strong commission from the Lord to go disciple the nations and to teach them His Word. All right? So that's why we're here in the college training. We're here. You have the nations right on your campus. Right? You have the nations right on your campus. And while there are many people who are physically starving in Africa, and actually the largest number is in Asia, but there are lots of people right around you in your classes who are spiritually starving and dying, and they need to know the truth. They need to know the truth. And we have it. And we have it. So one really important part of this college training is to learn the truth. All right? It's to enjoy the truth. And it's to learn how to present the truth to others so that we can help them, right? We can help them to know the truth. There's that famous verse, right? It says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So first of all, we need to know it ourselves, and then we can help others also. We need to avert this major crisis, all right, of people needing to know the truth. All right, let's read the second verse together, Acts 8, 30 and 31. Okay, let's declare it strongly. "And when Philip ran up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, 'Do you really know the things that you are reading?' And he said, 'How could I?' And he entreated Philip to come up and sit with him." All right, so in this verse, there is someone. He's a Gentile. He's an Ethiopian eunuch. And he's reading the Bible, Isaiah, right? He has the Bible in his hand, and he's reading a portion there, but he doesn't know. He can't understand it. He can't understand it. So Philip comes up to him. He runs up to him and asks him, "Do you know what you're reading? Do you know what you're reading?" And what was his answer? "How could I? Unless someone guides me." Unless someone guides me, all right? So we always want to come to the Bible, right? The truth is in the Bible. We need to read the Bible. And we're going to enjoy much of the Bible this week. But we also need some help. We ourselves need some help. We need, like it says here, we need someone to guide us. Someone to guide us. And so one of the things that we're going to do in this college training, we're going to get into all the topics that are in your notebook. And one of the outlines that we'll be getting into is also related to this book, which most of you should have gotten when you checked in. A few of you checked in before these books arrived. But it's called The Divine Speaking. The Divine Speaking. And so we will practice to know how to get into a book like this that is not to replace the Bible, but to help us understand the Bible and to help us and to open up the Bible to us. All right? This is written by Brother Witness Lee, who was a person very much used by the Lord. And so during this time, hopefully you'll have the experience of really being enlightened, getting some light on the Word, but with some help, with some help. And then in turn, of course, then we can turn around and help others to also get into the Word. Okay, now let's move on to Roman numeral 2. Okay, let's read it together. Ready, go. The New Testament says repeatedly that we should know the truth. Moreover, when referring to this matter, Paul repeatedly says that we should come to the full knowledge of the truth. All right, what is God's desire? If someone was going to say, what is God's desire? Well, you might have something to say. But today, in 1 Timothy 2, 3c and 4, it tells us what God's desire is. All right, God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. What is deep in God's heart is, number one, everyone would be saved. All right? Everyone in this room is saved. And if you're saved, we also have another responsibility. What is that? To gain a little bit of the truth, right? To know bits and pieces of the truth, the best that we can. That's not what the verse says. What it says is, if we're saved, we also need to come to the full knowledge of the truth. The full knowledge of the truth. Of course, this is a process. You don't just, in one college training, come to the full knowledge of the truth. But a college training can greatly accelerate and enhance our knowledge in the truth. So hopefully during this time, we can really advance. All right, the second verse is 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, an unashamed workman, cutting straight the word of the truth." Cutting straight the word of the truth. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. Timothy was a young man. He was not an old man. He was a young man, probably your age. And Paul's charge to him was, be a workman and cut straight the word of the truth. I don't know if they, do they still, when I was in junior high, they offered metal shop and wood shop. And so I took those classes. And if you make a cut that is just a little bit off, and you need to match two pieces of wood together, it is not going to look good, and you may have to start over. Many times, that's the way we are with the truth. We cut it, but it's not so straight. It's just a little bit off, a little crooked. We can't remember the verse where it says, God so loved the world. We might paraphrase it, but not be able to cut straight the word of the truth. All right? But that's God's charge to us. That's the Lord's charge to us, is that we should cut straight the word of the truth. All right. Now, the next is just a quote from a book. It says, if the truth gets into your memory, it becomes a constant and long-term nourishment. Then you have an accumulation of the truth, and you are a person continually under the constant nourishment. All right? So, we need to exercise our spirit. We need to get into the Word. We need to pray over the Word. That's very important. But let's not forget this aspect of our memory. Our memory. We're going to talk more about that later. All right? We need to get the Word into our memory. And we also need to have an understanding. All right? It's related to our understanding, our mental faculty. As we read the Bible, we need to understand what we're reading. That's what it says, right? In Acts 8, do you know the things that you are reading? Do you understand the things that you're reading? So as in our group times, we have twos and threes, a lot of different times for fellowship. This is a time for us to try to understand the truth and get it into our memory. If we do, it will become a source of nourishment to us, not to mention the benefits that it will bring to those around us, all right? So that's that point. Okay, Roman numeral 3. We must therefore spend time laboring on the truth. Not only should we understand the truth, but we should be able to use simple words to teach others the truth. We should be able to use simple words to teach others the truth. Then how about all the brothers read 1 John 2:14? Okay, read it again, but read it stronger. Strong young men, right? Ready, go. Amen. Amen. So when is the time for the word of God to abide in us? It's when we're young, right? I have written to you, young men. You are strong and the word of God abides in you. Don't think it's just for the old guys, for me, and for the ones who stand here on this podium. No, it's for the young men. It's for the young sisters. It's for the young brothers. All right, this is the time. All right, the next verses are really interesting. Let me read this to you. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be upon your heart. Shall be upon your heart. And you shall repeat them to your children. And speak about them when you sit in your house. Right? When we're sitting in our houses, what should we do? Speak about the Lord's words. When you journey on the way, you're on your way to the cafeteria, right? Speak about it. When you lie down and when you rise up, right? That's like all the time, right? Your house, you're on the way, you lie down, you rise up, speak. And you shall bind them on your hand as a sign, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, right? That's a lot, right? It's almost like, do anything you can to get the word into you. Amen. Write it on your wall, write it on your doorpost, your gate, put it on your hand, put it between your eye, talk about it when you're at home, talk about it when you wake up, talk about it when you go to sleep. There's just an atmosphere here of just doing our best to get the Lord's words into us. Right? Get the Lord's words into us. And of course, the goal is in the next verse there, 2 Timothy 2:2. Ben read this verse. It says, the things which you have heard from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also. So actually, we're going to do this in the college training. We're going to get into this book. We'll be getting into this together. And at the end, just like we did last year, for those of you who are here, you will have the opportunity to teach others also. So we're going to practice how to get into this, how to digest it, how to get into us, and then how to teach others based upon the word and based upon the ministry. So I hope you're looking forward to that. Now I want to just touch something. I think in general, right, most people under the age of, say, 20, maybe 25, today, if we did a random survey of college students on your campus, and the preferred method of absorbing information, I think a lot of people would say that they prefer video or multimedia type of presentations. Right? It's a little more entertaining. It's just the way things work with technology and those types of things today, right? But I hope that we all would never lose, and there's value to that, but I hope we also would never lose our appreciation, our basic appreciation for reading, all right? While, yes, we may watch lectures online, maybe you don't even need to go to class, you can just watch your lectures online, listen, whatever. But you prefer to, just do your study groups, have your friends help you. But I hope in relation to the Bible and in relation to pursuing the truth, we would never neglect reading, right? We would never neglect reading. I'm sure there would have been, if God wanted to use another medium to communicate to us, he could easily do so, right? He could, we could hear audio from the heavens every day. He could easily, you know, do 3D IMAX, holograph projections. I mean, he could communicate with us a lot of ways. But he chose to put everything he wants to say in a book, right? In one book. Everything God wants to say to us is right in here. He didn't add anything else. There's no extra there's no videos, no TED Talks, no multimedia presentations. It's all in a book. It's all in a book. And so, what's a book made to be? Read. It's made to be read. All right? So I hope, number one, we would never lose our appreciation for reading. If we want to know the truth, you might be able to learn a certain extent of the truth by watching YouTube videos, Christian YouTube videos. But the best way to learn the truth is to read. It's to read. Now, secondly, in our reading, I hope that we all appreciate printed materials. All right? I recognize the value of digital consumption, and there are advantages to consuming materials and reading digitally, right? It's very convenient. It is the search function is off. If you want to find something, if I gave you this Bible and ask you to find, you know, 20 references to our human spirit, it would be pretty tough. But you can easily find that by doing a quick search, right? So convenience, and obviously, you know, at your fingertips, you have a lot of different versions of the Bible, lots of ministry books. There's a lot of materials you can access. So there are advantages to, you know, reading digitally and consuming the truth digitally. But there are also advantages to reading in print. For the last 3 or 4 years, we always do a survey in the college training. And if you've been with us, you know this question's been on there. It asks, how do you prefer to get into the truth? Is it, you know, 25% in print and 75% digital, 50-50, 75, 25, you know? And so we've been trying to get a read on what college, and this is just college students, what the college students are doing in terms of Bible reading, in terms of ministry reading, and getting into the truth. And actually, I had no idea what to expect. But it's been relatively consistent over the last few years in that about 75% of the college students yourselves who come to the college training prefer to consume or to get into the truth at least 50% or more with printed materials, all right? And obviously there are advantages to printed material just like there are with digital, right? What are the advantages? Obviously, it's less easy to get distracted when you're reading a paper book than when you're reading on your phone. I know you can highlight digitally on your recovery version or on various apps, but it's so much easier to interact with the text of your Bible and your ministry book when it's printed. You can underline, you can circle, you can write in the margins, and actually there are studies done that, you know, even the location of words on the page, the scent of the book, the texture as you turn the pages, it helps you remember these things. So you don't get that when you read digitally, but you do get it when you read in print. So it actually helps you to retain, right? When the truth gets into your memory, then it becomes a source of constant long-term nourishment. And that's the goal. So these are the advantages of reading printed materials. And while I think anyone would be unwise to say, I only read print or I only read digital, I think you need both. if you really are a serious student of the Bible. You need to have both sides. But I hope that in today's age, we don't neglect the print, right? We don't neglect the print. There are definite advantages to it, and in this college training, we're hopefully you can really appreciate it, freshly appreciate reading the truth in good old black and white print. All right, now, to end, let me just read this last quote, all right? It says, I would encourage the young people to take the time over the next several years to become constituted of all the life study messages. If the young people are saturated with these messages in the coming years, saturated with the word concerning God's New Testament economy, many will be useful in serving the Lord full time. They will be able to go to other cities and countries and convey to others God's New Testament economy. This will cause the situation among today's Christians to be transformed. All right? So I hope that many of us would aspire. Of course, we're going to practice here in the college training, getting into the truth, getting into the word, getting the word into us, teaching others, getting it into our memory. But what we learn here, of course, is not just an end in itself, but it's for you to practice when you go home. And hopefully many of you would aspire to continue, even reading the life studies, reading the ministry, after you go home. Just a quick testimony, and there's actually people here who have done more than this. But when I was a sophomore in high school, all right, a sophomore in high school, not in college, I was really touched by the Lord to give regular time during the day to read the Word and to read the life study messages, all right? So I made it a goal that in 6 years, before I went to the full-time training, that I would try and read through all the life studies. And there are, in the New Testament, there are 1,116 messages. And in the Old Testament life studies, there's 897 messages, all right? That's a lot. I didn't actually finish before I went to the training. But I did finish the New Testament, right? Again, which is roughly 1,100 messages. And here's the thing. It's just a little by little and day by day. I didn't sit down and read three messages on Saturday and then wait till the next weekend and then read, 10 messages. No, it was like I read 2 pages in the morning, 2 pages around lunchtime, 2 pages before dinner, 2 pages before I went to sleep. That's a message. All right? It's a little bit here, a little there. It's consistent. But over time, there's a real accumulation. There's a real accumulation. And so I hope that many of you would aspire. You don't have to necessarily do that. We're all in different places. But I hope that we all would aspire to do something, all right, and to make some progress. There's, in the same book where it talks about getting the truth into our memory, there's a whole section entitled, The Tortoise Wins the Race. The Tortoise Wins the Race. So if you're a hare, a rabbit, and you, after the college training, get really excited and you go home and you try and read 5 messages a day, or 5 chapters of the Bible a day, whatever it is, and you're not used to that, it won't last that long. But if we're just doing the best that we can to build something up, to build up some consistency, build up some accumulation, then we will be constituted with the truth. And we will be able to present the truth to others. The Lord desperately, desperately needs people who know the truth so that they can share the truth with others and fulfill His desire. Okay? So how about, before we head to the next section with a little bit more fellowship, how about we just pray for one another, all right? We're all at different stages. Some of us may already be doing this. Others of us may be hearing this type of thing for the first time. I hope nobody's discouraged. Nobody's discouraged. And we can't do this overnight, but we can just take little steps toward getting the truth into us, all right? So how about we take 30 seconds with the person next to you and just pray for one another. Let's pray that we would really encourage one another, that we would, during this college training, really get the truth into us and then take that back and be constituted with the truth to meet the Lord's need.